You're listening to the Full Picture Podcast, a podcast highlighting diversity in the hundreds of roles featured in the end credits you almost never stay for. I'm John Green.
And I'm Darby Barton.
We sat down with sound mixer and boom operator Amobi Ajawara, whose preferred gender pronouns are he, him. Amobi was born in the U.S., but his family is from Nigeria, and he proudly holds a dual citizenship.
He shared about landing his first gigs, work-life balance failures, and about some pretty awkward overheard-on-set situations.
I've had the pleasure of working with Amobi on a few projects and really enjoyed catching up with him and hearing about his experiences in the industry. We hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we did. Amobi, it's wonderful to have you on the Full Picture Podcast. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, likewise, man. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten to work on a project together.
Yeah.
So why don't you just kind of tell me a little bit about how you got into the sound world? Like, what got you started in sound?
Yeah. So this started like while I was in UC Irvine in my bachelor's. Well, actually, mm-hmm. A little back, it was in high school. I did a little bit of booming. But then, like, when I was in UCI, I worked on this international student project. His name is Dave. We worked on this musical called It's a Seussical Life. Mm-hmm. And I was the boom operator there. Like, I didn't really have much to do. So I'm just like, might as well just, like, try it out. And yeah. Little did I know later on that actually, like, got the film project actually got an award for like best sound, and I'm just like,
oh well,
yeah, and I'm
wow.
just like, dude, I just hold a boom mic. Like, I didn't take sound that seriously, but I was still amazed by that.
Yeah that's pretty cool. And then after UC Irvine, did you went to Full Sail, or I don't remember?
I went to Full Sail. I went there for 2017 and did the master's program.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually kind of funny. When I was over there, like, I was a little bit rusty, like, after Irvine. I haven't done, like, sound in, like, 2 years. I was trying.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I took the lead because I'm like, yo, Full Sail has, like, a master's program in film. So,
yeah,
I'll get a master's there. And it's kind of funny. So, when I was, like, a boom operator for this thesis film called 5K, the rest of my classmates were PA, but I managed to sneak myself into the sound department, so that was like kind of funny for me. And I just like got ready, like pulled, like had the boom pull extended all the way, but mm-hmm. I was so rusty in the fact that the thing was so heavy, I was pointing at a tree. And you remember Dino, right?
Yeah, I remember Dino.
Yeah, he was basically like, why is that guy like pointing the boom at a tree and not the actors? And it's kind of funny. I was actually talking to a former student, and she told me that Dino still tells that story. So I'm a legend in like bad boom operating. But like, thanks, Dino.
Oh man! But hey, you know what? You're still working. You're having a successful career now. So that one, at least you made that mistake on a thesis film while you were in grad school, and not on, you know, another production.
Oh yeah, that would have been bad.
So, how long after you graduated Full Sail did you move out to Los Angeles?
As soon as I finished around December, I moved back to California immediately. I'm from Northern California, Union City. But these days, like before the pandemic, I used to like go back and forth. So I lived in Anaheim, and I just drove like 6 hours like every single month.
Mm-hmm. Since you have moved back to California and started working on, you know, a bunch of freelance projects, what so far up in this point in your career has been, I don't know, just the project that you've gotten the most satisfaction out of, or that has just been kind of the most surprising to you?
So I've been doing, so when I first started, actually, I was actually got like connections to my my film mom, aka she's name is Mandy Scarlett. She mm-hmm. runs her own film festival in Poppy Jasper. And yeah, she's gotten me a lot of connections. And also my family friend, Chike Nuafia, he is the co-founder of the African Silicon Film Festival. And he's gotten of awards back. Like, he's getting like a lot of recognition.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when I first moved back, the first thing I worked on, I was like, you know, starting as a PA, we worked on this documentary called oh shoot, man, he's gonna be mad at me for this. But it was basically just like a documentary about dementia. So like we were in the Stanford hospital down in Palo Alto, and
yeah
it was pretty cool. I mean, I got to, like, you know, meet her husband Nils, who's like one of my mentors. Like, he always like keeps me in mind for like sound and everything. And I mean, got to see his production, which is, by the way, if you're in NorCal and if you're looking for a good production, check out 152 West Productions. They're pretty awesome.
Okay. All right, cool. How important do you think is it to have like someone kind of mentor you in this field? And how much has that helped you?
I think it's a big thing, because there's sometimes like, okay, like for real, so like the like Peter, like you're great, but I feel like that business course needs to be like more than a month, because like when I was literally like finished, I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to do things. But then like when I was actually going to be working on this feature film for the first time, it's called When Women Rule the World. I basically thought like this production must already have a sound gear, so like might as well just like take the job. But then I actually got a call from Lucy's like, we don't have any sound gear, because I thought like, you know, like, I mean, I didn't really know from Peter, like, you know, when you're freelancing, like I didn't think like you had to get your own gear, but you actually do have to. So luckily, like my family was supportive. I got my first recorder, which was like my Zoom F8N. But during the time I was working at I did some gigs in American Film Institute, I was using my Zoom H5 that Full Sail gave us. It's also good to have friends too. Like if you're a Full Sail grad, make sure to have, like, you know, when you're about to graduate, make sure to make friends with like grads who just graduated and stuff. Because my friend Oscar Roman, he got me my first job in LA, so that was cool.
Networking is the biggest thing in the film industry, from what I've noticed. It's just making connections, being a good person to work with, and people will recommend you. What kind of challenges have you had to face going into this career? Like, what have been some of the biggest hurdles you've had to overcome?
I would say my first year, like when you're like in LA, and for me, it was like I was just done finishing with Women Rule the World, and then I just moved into my cousin let me stay in her place, and I was looking for like film jobs. But then at the same time, I wasn't really getting anything, because it was probably because I didn't use my social media as much. I was literally just like thinking like, oh man, I'm not getting any gigs, and I'm spending like so much money and like not doing anything. Like, it was freaking me out.
But,
And other than that, the challenge also was like, since I lived in two different places, it was just like I had to make sure like which area was like booming with business, which one wasn't. So there'd be some times where I'd just like drive to LA, like in the middle of the night, and I'll drive to NorCal in the middle of the night. I just remember, there's this thing I've also learned. Don't do three gigs at the same day. It is really brutal.
How did you manage to do that?
Well, it was in the middle. So I was working with my friend Joey in the middle of the morning. We had to be there super early in the morning. We were like in Malibu Beach doing like this small like propaganda film. I was a camera for that. And, you know, it went okay. It went good. We saw a dead seal, which was just like, what the heck? And then I worked on my other, so it was like in the middle of the night, I had like a little bit of rest. And then I worked on my friend Beatrice's like music video. She does a contribute to Celine. And then after that, I had to leave early and I had to drive like straight to San Francisco for another gig for tomorrow. It was like a short film. And I was super beat. I was like, man, I don't think I'm going to make it. I was like seeing hallucinations. And I was
Don't do that to yourself, man.
Don't work three gigs, it can really hurt you. But then I was just lucky enough that the schedule got moved up, so I was able to just like sleep in my own house and then like go over there, and that's pretty much like lesson learned.
That's good, man. Glad you learned that lesson.
I would say another challenge is really like networking with certain people. Like, keep in mind, like, you know, like for me, like the LA Sound, like I'm part of like two different groups for sound mixers, the LA Sound Mixers and the NorCal Sound Mixers.
Okay.
You can ask them questions, but not everyone will like be available for that. But like, I say, like, you know, if you're friends with one, like one sound mixer, then you're good. You don't need to be friends with everybody, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Full Picture Podcast. We wanted to quickly share how you can support what Full Picture Podcast is doing to highlight diversity in the film industry. We know you hear this all the time, but it really is true that leaving a review helps other people find our podcast.
So if you enjoy the show, please leave us a quick review and share the podcast with one person you know.
You can also support us by contributing to our Patreon so we can keep creating impactful content. Now, back to the show. You're listening to the Full Picture Podcast, a podcast highlighting diversity in the hundreds of roles featured in the end credits you almost never stay for. I'm John Green.
And I'm Darby Barton.
We sat down with sound mixer and boom operator Amobi Ajawara, whose preferred gender pronouns are he, him. Amobi was born in the U.S., but his family is from Nigeria, and he proudly holds a dual citizenship.
He shared about landing his first gigs, work-life balance failures, and about some pretty awkward overheard-on-set situations.
I've had the pleasure of working with Amobi on a few projects and really enjoyed catching up with him and hearing about his experiences in the industry. We hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we did. Amobi, it's wonderful to have you on the Full Picture Podcast. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, likewise, man. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten to work on a project together.
Yeah.
So why don't you just kind of tell me a little bit about how you got into the sound world? Like what got you started in sound?
Yeah. So this started like while I was in UC Irvine in my bachelor's. Well, actually a little back, it was in high school. I did a little bit of booming. But then like when I was in UCI, I worked on this international student project. His name is Dave. We worked on this musical called It's a Statistical Life. Mm-hmm. And I was the boom operator there. Like, I didn't really have much to do. So I'm just like, might as well just like try it out. And little did I know later on that actually like got the film project actually got an award for like best sound. And I'm just like, just like, dude, I just rolled a boom mic. Like, I didn't take sound that seriously, but I was still amazed by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then after UC Irvine, did you went to Full Sail, or I don't remember.
I went to Full Sail. I went there for 2017 and did the master's program.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually kind of funny. When I was over there, like I was a little bit rusty, like after Irvine, I haven't done like sound in like 2 years. I was trying.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I took the lead because I'm like, yo, Full Sail has like a master's program in film. So
yeah,
I'll get a master's there. And it's kind of funny. So when I was like a boom operator for this thesis film called 5K, the rest of my classmates were PA, but I managed to sneak myself into the sound department. So that was like kind of funny for me. And I just like got ready, like had the boom pull extended all the way. But I was so rusty in the fact that the thing was so heavy, I was pointing at a tree. And you remember Dino, right?
Yeah, I remember Dino.
Yeah, he was basically like, why is that guy like pointing the boom at a tree and not the actors? And it's kind of funny. I was actually talking to a former student, and she told me that Dino still tells that story. So I'm a legend in like bad boom operating. But like, thanks, Dino.
Oh man, but hey, you know what? You're still working. You're having a successful career now. So that one, at least you made that mistake on a thesis film while you were in grad school and not on, you know, another production.
Oh yeah, that would have been bad.
So how long after you graduated Full Sail did you move out to Los Angeles?
As soon as I finished around December, I moved back to California immediately. I'm from Northern California, Union City, but these days, like before the pandemic, I used to like go back and forth. So I lived in Anaheim, and I just drove like 6 hours like every single month.
Mm-hmm. Since you have moved back to California and started working on, you know, a bunch of freelance projects, what so far up in this point in your career has been, I don't know, just the project that you've gotten the most satisfaction out of, or that has just been kind of the most surprising to you?
So I've been doing when I first started, actually, I was actually got like connections to my my film mom, aka she's name is Mandy Scarlett. She runs her own film festival in Poppy Jasper, and yeah, she's got me a lot of connections, and also my family friend Chike Nuafia. He is the co-founder of the African Silicon Film Festival, and he's gotten a lot of awards back. Like, he's getting like a lot of recognition.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when I first moved back, the first thing I worked on, I was like, you know, starting as a PA, we worked on this documentary called, oh shoot, man, he's gonna be mad at me for this. but it was basically just like a documentary about dementia. So like we were in the Stanford hospital down in Palo Alto, and
yeah,
it was pretty cool. I mean, I got to like, you know, meet her husband Nils, who's like one of my mentors. Like he always like keeps me in mind for like sound and everything. And
yeah,
I mean, got to see his production, which is, by the way, if you're in NorCal and if you're looking for a good production, check out 152 West Productions. They're pretty awesome.
Okay. All right, cool. How important do you think is it to have like someone kind of mentor you in this field? And how much has that helped you?
I think it's a big thing because there's sometimes like, okay, like for Frulso, like the like Peter, like you're great, but I feel like that business course needs to be like more than a month, because like
yeah,
when I was literally like finished, I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to do things. But then like when I was actually going to be working on this feature film for the first time, it's called When Women Rule the World, I basically thought like this production must already have a sound gear, so like might as well just like take the job. But then I actually got a call from Lucy. It's like, we don't have any sound gear, because I thought like, you know, like I mean, I didn't really know from Peter, like, you know, when you're freelancing, like I didn't think like you had to get your own gear, but you actually do have to. So luckily like my family was supportive. I got my first recorder, which was like my Zoom F8N. But during the time I was working at I did some gigs in American Film Institute, I was using my Zoom H5 that Full Sail gave us.
Yeah.
It's also good to have friends too. Like if you're a Full Sail grad, make sure to have like, you know, when you're about to graduate, make sure to make friends with like grads who just graduated and stuff. Cause my friend Oscar Roman, he got me my first job in LA. So that was cool.
Yeah. Networking is the biggest thing in the film industry from what I've noticed. It's just making connections, being a good person to work with, and people will recommend you. What kind of challenges have you had to face going into this career? Like what have been some of the biggest hurdles you've had to overcome?
I would say my first year, like when you're like in LA, and for me, it was like, I was just done finishing with Women Rule the World. And then I just moved into my cousin let me stay in her place, and I was looking for like film jobs. But then at the same time, I wasn't really getting anything, because it was probably because I didn't use my social media as much. I was literally just like thinking like, oh man, I'm not getting any gigs and I'm spending like so much money and like not doing anything. Like it was freaking me out.
But,
And other than that, the challenge also was like, since I lived in two different places, it was just like, I had to make sure like which area was like booming with business, which one wasn't. So there'd be some times where I'd just like drive to LA, like in the middle of the night, and I'll drive to NorCal in the middle of the night. I just remember, there's this thing I've also learned. Don't do three gigs at the same day. It is really brutal.
Yeah. How did you manage to do that?
Well, it was in the middle. So I was working with my friend Joey in the middle of the morning. We had to be there super early in the morning. We were like in Malibu Beach doing like this small like propaganda film. I was a camera for that. And, you know, it went okay. It went good. We saw a dead seal, which was just like, what the heck? Yeah. And then I worked on so it was like in the middle of the night, I had like a little bit of rest. And then I worked on my friend Beatrice's like music video. She does a contribute to Celine. And then after that, I had to leave early and I had to drive like straight to San Francisco for another gig for tomorrow. It was like a short film. And I was super beat. I was like, man, I don't think I'm going to make it. I was like seeing hallucinations. And I was
don't do that to yourself, man.
Don't work three gigs, it can really hurt you. But then I was just lucky enough that the schedule got moved up, so I was able to just like sleep in my own house and then like go over there, and that's pretty much like lesson learned.
Yeah, that's good, man. Glad you learned that lesson.
I would say another challenge is really like networking with certain people. Like keep in mind, like, you know, like for me, like the LA Sound, like I'm part of like two different groups for sound mixers, the LA Sound Mixers and the NorCal Sound Mixers.
Okay.
You can ask them questions, but not everyone will like be available for that. But like,
yeah.
Say like, you know, if you're friends with one, like one sound mixer, then you're good. You don't need to be friends with everybody, but
yeah. Thanks for listening to the Full Picture Podcast. We wanted to quickly share how you can support what Full Picture Podcast is doing to highlight diversity in the film industry. We know you hear this all the time, but it really is true that leaving a review helps other people find our podcast.
So if you enjoy the show, please leave us a quick review and share the podcast with one person you know.
You can also support us by contributing to our Patreon so we can keep creating impactful content. Now, back to the show. So I've had very, very limited experience running sound for sets, but in the limited experience I do have, I've heard actors say the funniest things when the camera's not rolling and they're off in some other corner where they think they're alone. What's some of the funniest stuff, if you can say, that you've heard people say when they had no idea that you could hear them?
Well, this was more like a gotcha sort of scenario. But when I was working on this like TV special for the Trend Talk about Latina Fest, it was like the first time I was working on it. One of the co-hosts, she was basically saying like, this sound guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And then I thought it was me. And then I went straight up to her and said like, hey, I don't mean to intrude, but I heard what you said because of the thing that's on your chest. And she's like, oh, no, it's not you. It's the live sound guy. And then, yeah, pretty much like the next like year, that live sound guy was replaced. But I was still able to go for the second year. But yeah.
That's hilarious. So she wasn't actually talking about you.
Yeah. No, I thought she was, though, because it was just like they can't really hear the volume. I'm like, well,
yeah. I just find it makes sense. Like if they can't hear you, I'm like, how would she know that you don't know what you're doing? Like, oh, you're just putting on a mic and recording. Like,
right.
Did you ever hear actors kind of complaining about like the directors or other people that they're working with, like between takes and stuff?
When I was in Full Sail, there was this actress. Her name was Carmen. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. I just heard her talking a little bit with the director about this short film called what was it? Oh man, Donis is gonna kill me. Lunch Day. Yeah.
But, Lunch Day.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she was saying something cute about the director or something like that. But you remember those like Full Sail days? Just like working with directors and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah. That was fun stuff. So what's next for you, man? What do you got coming up in 2021? Have you got some new gigs lined up?
I am working on a short film in February. Mm-hmm. I was going to work on a feature in January, but like sadly COVID, so that got canceled, but it's okay. And just at the moment, I just been, every month I just been getting more sound stuff. So like now I have it just keeps going, growing and getting better. It's more professional. But yeah.
That's good, man. That's what you gotta be doing, man. Just keep grinding away a little bit more every time. If you could, like, what's next on your gear list? Now you mentioned you've been like purchasing things here and there and you got a lot of new stuff. What's the next big thing that you want to get?
I'm thinking of getting a mixer for my Scorpio, the CL16. Like that looks pretty dope. And a few electrosonics. I've been talking to my friend Sam and my other friend Thera. She's like a Full Sail grad too from Germany. Like they just have been my sound advisors, like, you know, what to get and like stuff. It's pretty cool. But yeah.
Are you mostly working with where you're the mixer and the boom op? Or are you able to do jobs where you've got two people?
Mostly it's just like mixing and booming for myself, but like for the project in February, I got my friend Alexandria. It's like she's like a Russian singer also in China, but she moved over here with her husband. She's gonna be my boom op, so that's gonna be fun.
Nice. That's what you want, right? That's the dream right there, is having a boom op so you can sit back and mix.
Like, sure, I've been doing a lot of arm exercises and handstand training for boom holding, but I actually want to mix instead of just doing both at the same time. But
yeah,
what can you do? That's
You know, I was talking to a sound person recently too, and you know, she says she was just now kind of, you know, has the bag and the boom and everything, but now is investing in building a cart so that she can do just mixing. So I mean, is that something that you, I assume that you're gonna kind of want to move towards in the future?
Yeah, I'm also going to plan to later on, like, I have a citizenship in Africa, and I'm planning to do some projects out there later on once I have everything.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know that about you.
Both my parents are, like, they were born and raised in Africa, and I was born over here, so I consider myself a bridge Afro, meaning that I can basically live in two of the areas.
How has that defined you and how you work in this industry?
I would say one thing, though. It's like, for my name, people are just like, so are you an immigrant or something? And I'm like, no, I was born here. I mean, I just have to really defend myself in a way. Sure, my name may not be like, oh, like, let's hire that one guy, but we forgot his name. But surprisingly, some people do remember me. And I've gotten to the point where it's like, you know, in your first year, you basically feel like you're going to be a kiss ass. So, like, you basically just had to be like, hey, hire me. But then at the point, it's just like, you're kind of failing. But as long as you keep doing the things that you need to do, people will come to you.
Yeah. So, man, so do you think you faced kind of a lot of adversity, or at least have extra hurdles to jump over because of that?
Yeah. I mean, I have been seeing that there's not that much, like, sound people that are, like, African-American or African around here in America. I only know, like, maybe like two or three, but some people may not take me seriously or may think I'm not professional, but I proved them wrong, because I've done like over 151 projects to this very day.
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, you know, you're my go-to sound guy, so that's awesome. I've always appreciated your work ethic. And
thanks, man.
So are there any, like, sound designers that you kind of look to for inspiration?
There was one guy. He's a friend of mine in Chicago. His name is Loren. He's a pretty good sound designer. Straight from Chicago. He's the same race as me. So I'm like Igbo Nigerian. He's the Igbo Nigerian too. But he pretty much does some pretty dope sound effects.
What do you think are kind of the key things, like, starting out, that you're like, I need this stuff, I got to get this stuff? And how has that helped you get more gigs since you've invested in your gear?
Okay, yeah. I would definitely say, if you're beginning, like, I would recommend it, even though I don't like it. But I have a supportive family, so, like, they helped me get my stuff. But if you were to start out, I would probably recommend get yourself either, like, a sound mix, like Sound Devices Mix Pre series, or maybe a Zoom F8N, or is it the Zoom F series? I mean, they're pretty cool, because, like, it feels more full professional, because the fact I like about it is, I use the F8N, is that it allows me to create easy folders, like, on the go. It has, like, all these multiple channels and good buses. And also, to start off, like I said, you need, like, a boom mic. I would recommend, like, a 416, even though, like, it is pricey. It is, like, I'm straight up, like, sound is probably, like, the most second or third most expensive in the film industry. So that's something you do have to keep in mind. And, get some lobs. I would probably recommend either some Gs, like, some of the G series. But the ones that are best right now are, like, the Louisicom and Letrosonics, but they're way expensive. But probably rent, see how it goes. But also at the same time, if you're in LA for this type of stuff, look up any sound location, sound stores, like True Audio, Location Sound. Yeah. Like,
that's the thing I love about LA, is there's stores here for everything in the film industry. Like, it's the only city where you can find it. Like, Film Tools, I guess New York, you've got B&H, but having the ability to go just get stuff, purchase it day of a shoot is key out here, I think. So what else have you been working on since you've been back up in NorCal? Like, have you been able to do a lot of other productions and short films and stuff like that?
I recently just worked on my first commercial on this ostrich farm.
Tell me about that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. My film mentor, Nils, who I talked about earlier, he just called me up and said, hey, I got a gig going on, and you want to be a part of it? And I said, yeah, sure. And at the same time, like, I wanted to test out my new microphone, which was a Shep Seemint 5. So I'm like, definitely going to get in there. It's actually kind of funny, because Full Sail actually has that, and now I got one too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of Gilroy, and keep in mind, this was also in the middle of the, like, NorCal fires, but, like, it wasn't getting as worse as ever. But yeah, just went up in the middle of this area, like kind of nowhere in Gilroy, but it's like kind of close to the roads when you're going to LA, but it's just there. So it's pretty cool. I mean, got to be close to like some emus and some ostriches. Like freaking emus, they sound like dinosaurs or like some kind of like bad predator, man. It's like I recorded great audio for that. I'm just like,
that's whoa. Cool.
Yeah.
What's your approach when you're recording like on set sound, you know, not dialogue, but like when you're trying to pick up sound effects and things like that? Do you take a different approach to that than you would doing dialogue?
I recently found out if I'm ever going to record sound effects, I had to keep it out at a 96. So like if I'm ever doing dialogue, I always keep it at a 48-bit. But
what are some of the like films projects that inspire you? Like what kind of inspired you to get into sound, and what movies do you kind of look to now for inspiration for your sound?
I'm 100% going to say Jurassic Park. The fact that it has like really good sound effects, like the visuals and everything. The fact that I just realized that T-Rex has like multiple like animals as like the voices, and they're all combining like an alligator, a little bit of a tiger. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a bunch. I love that kind of creativity in sound. That's awesome.
Yeah. It made me want to do Foley too, which I actually am doing Foley as a side too. But I'm trying to get like a Foley reel. Like I'm doing this little show thing called Foley with Friends, where I basically have like a friend with me, and like we basically do like fun recordings. Like, you know, someone would send us their clips, we do recording for that, and then we put that together and see if we can make it better.
But that's cool.
Yeah, but since COVID, it's been on delay. But once it's over, we'll get back to it.
I actually just did an interview yesterday with a Foley artist. It was really fun talking to her about just all the different things that they use to make sounds and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you actually know that a flank steak is like a good sound effect for punching someone in the face?
No. That's good to know.
Spoiler, we actually did that in the first episode. Well, it's in the words, but yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a sound effects pack that I've been using for the Hitman series. It's just like an impacts and fighting sound effects. And it's they do like carrots breaking and what's that other veggie, the
celery?
Yeah, carrots and celery breaking for like bone cracks and stuff like that. It's so much fun.
Yeah, did you actually know they use that in Terminator 2?
Yeah,
I've actually been using that as well. Like I keep spoiling the episode, dang it.
that's all right. Well, I've had great. It's been great catching up with you, man. Just seeing. It's been over a year since I've seen you, so it's been great to catch up with you. Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for listening to the Full Picture Podcast. We're so glad to have you journey with us as we hear from diverse industry professionals and paint a full picture of the film industry. You can find us on social media at Full Picture Podcast, and you can follow Amobi on Instagram at Amobi_CL_Ajawara. That's AMAOBI_CL_AJAWARA. Don't forget to leave us a review, contribute to our Patreon for special bonuses, and share the podcast with one person. Tune in next week for more close-ups on diverse industry pros.